If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm going to say it again. Number one afternoon show in all of Houston.
Come on.
And right now, the drive is live.
That's right.
Show in the city.
Thanks, Larry. Oh, I wonder how my man Larry is, because Larry was hammered when he called us last night. And I would imagine that outcome probably made him drink.
The guy
drink
is more. Drunk.
I don't know if y'all saw LJ Cryer in that post game. LJ wasn't going to speak until somebody forced him to say his name. He sat back. They said, this question is for both the student athletes, and that person asked that question, and LJ just did it. Juwan, you got it?
Student athlete, I don't know what that is.
Juwan, you got it? He finally came up and started answering some questions. But no, man, a tough one, man. We were hoping to be in a celebratory mood with the Houston Cougars getting their first championship. But, Clint, that did not happen. Tyler, that did not happen. 713-572-4610. Those of you joining us through the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, we see the crew out there. You can join in on us with this. And Clint and fellas, ladies as well, if we called Saturday night from the Duke Blue Devils a collapse, which I believe it was, then Clint, up 12 in the second half, up double digits. I mean, halfway through, I would to me say there was a collapse that happened last night with the Houston Cougars.
It felt like
I think that would be off. I think that would be more than fair. Look, I mean, Florida did exactly to Houston last night what Houston did to Duke Saturday night. In the moments when the game was a tie, and I don't even care about the 12 points and the 14 points and this and that. I mean, that's obviously part of the story and what makes it so special, but it's a tight ball game. Both of these teams have been in tight ball games down the stretch. All of these teams that are on the brackets that are out there, they've been in tight ball games down the stretch, and it's about, obviously, no matter how you got there, it's about who executes the best. Duke absolutely laid an egg against Houston in the final few minutes, and was out of character in doing it. And last night, the Cougars absolutely laid an egg in the final handful of minutes and allowed Florida to hit a few shots and really take control of the game from a momentum standpoint, take control of the game from a confidence standpoint, take control of the game from a scheme standpoint and a flow standpoint. And it's exactly what they did to Duke a couple days ago, man. So, yeah, it was a rough look. It was a rough watch. It was painful to watch.
It was shocking, Clint. What for you, and you can text this in, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in, too. Again, almost like the Duke game. We had Clark Kellogg on yesterday, and he said he was shocked. He had never seen or expected something like that to happen. What about this collapse? got, like, it surprised you the most? Like, you went through some things, but what was it that got you the most in this game to just watch that lead come down
For me, it's what I just said. I'm not worried about it. To me, it's not about the lead. I mean, there's streaks in basketball, and it just when it comes down to it, in those final few possessions, can you get it done? And I think the most surprising part to me was I felt like I didn't just all of a sudden feel that Houston was a great team under pressure, and they were really confident in chaos and comfortable in chaos. Like, I didn't just think that because of the Duke game. Like, I felt like that was an advantage that they have and legitimately have over opponents at a championship level as well as throughout the season. And so I think the biggest thing that stood out to me was just how you get to that moment and you think, all right, Houston's got them right where they want them. Got them right where they want them. And to see Florida flip that on its head, I think was probably the most surprising thing for me.
I said yesterday, that is the toughest team, Houston. Yeah. The toughest team mentally, at the end, whatever it is. They are the toughest team. They fight all of that. They're the toughest team I've seen in college basketball in a long time. Not just this year, in a long time. Florida, and this is going to be the thing that is going to... There are a lot of things, Clint, that's going to haunt Kelvin Sampson and these kids, and we'll get into these. But I think the thing that is going to haunt them the most is Florida was the tougher team last night. Mentally, in every way, at the end of the game, during in the coming... There, Walter, I said anybody but Walter is what I was saying. We talked about this with multiple people. You can't let him beat you. Well, they did a hell of a job on him. He was shot. He didn't score in the first half. He didn't make a basket to really, really well into the second half. But it didn't matter. Florida continued to stay there. They had other guys just make it up until he kind of got hot for that little small period where he had the back-to-back and ones, and then he hits the three late. But they didn't have their best player rolling. They had two technical fouls in the game. They came out of the gates in the second half, 5 fouls to nothing, where they were in the bonus. They were going to be in the bonus quickly, and they just kept doing what Houston generally does to people. They out-toughed Houston. I think that's going to be the biggest thing that is going to stick to them is that every loose ball that needed to be gotten late in that game, Florida got it. Right? Every big play that needed to be had, they didn't get a shot attempt off in the last 2 minutes and 13 seconds of the game, Clint. Not even a shot attempt.
Yeah. Look, there's so many storylines here, and you gotta lead with what happened at the end, because that's ultimately what dictated the game. I personally said this at halftime. I witnessed it in the first half, and I said it at halftime. The refs were absolutely letting them play, and it was a physical-ass game in the first half. And I said it at halftime.
4 fouls in the first half.
If the refs allow this game to be played like it's played, Houston's going to run away with it. It's going to be – this is playing directly into Houston's hands. And
it continued, because the start of the second half, Florida was the one who was getting five foul calls to none.
Either way it goes, like, to have five of them right out of the gate on either side, like, it wasn't like it was one side or the other. It's just the refs, and I'll be honest with you, personally, this took away from my enjoyment of the game. I knew it was going to happen. I didn't know it was going to be this egregious. But when the refs came out in the second half and all, like, they literally, there was a point in the first half. What's the big dude's name for that had a little white beads on the end of his head for for Florida? Literally at one point, Ron, and the ref right there, Juwan Roberts, I believe it was down on the block, and this dude literally is hinged at the hips, has both hands in the rib cage of Roberts. Now he's in the ball. He's just rooting him out. He pushes him damn near to the bench on the sideline. Nobody blew a whistle. No, they were just letting. I was like, okay, that is blatant. They're just gonna let these cats play. And then in the second half, it came out the way it did. I knew at that point in time. Now, I'm not saying that it was one sided. It was for everybody.
Yeah, because
that was advantage Florida when the whistles came out. it was going to be advantage Florida, because I just thought U of H was very comfortable in that fight, very comfortable in that super physical game.
Yeah, Florida definitely adjusted as the second half went on better.
Right.
Right, like, because they came out the gate, it was five, I think it was 5-0.
Yeah.
Florida with 5 fouls in Houston. But then after Florida got one of their technicals, I then think it was a stretch where it was like 11-1.
Yeah.
You know, where Houston at 11.
Well, the thing is, to me, as I'm watching it, when the refs are allowing them to be as physical as they were, to me, where that, again, Houston's very comfortable in that, and it gave Houston the advantage versus a team that wants to push it. Right now, Houston can be uber physical versus a team that wants to push it. Like, be on the ball, whoever, the Clayton kid. Now you can extend out to the 3-point and you can get really physical with him. A couple of times they checked him when he had the damn ball and damn near knocked him down, and no whistle.
He took a three and got hit right across the arm.
Didn't blow. Yeah. So I mean, I felt like that was advantage Houston, and I thought, boy, that Houston's gonna run away with this damn thing if they let it play like this. And they come out in the second half and they tighten the whistles up, and it just—I
just thought different people came out,
a different crew.
Yeah, huh? I thought different people came.
Well, it makes you wonder if the Florida coach, or either coach for that matter, got in their ear at halftime of like, "Hey, fellas, damn, 4 in the whole game, and they're beating the hell out of each other down here. I mean, we can't let this go."
They went from 4 to 26.
Yeah,
total in the second.
I didn't know
half.
It was that bad.
Yeah, it was 26 fouls called, and this ain't even an excuse of, hey, down the stretch, like, all right, one team is you know, got a foul to try to prolong the game. No, it was just back and forth. There were no they weren't fouling on purpose. It was just fouls they were calling.
Yeah.
It was
so, and that's I didn't want to lead with that because obviously I don't want that to be any excuse
for Houston. We can get in a little deeper on that. I got to call all three of them name here in a little bit.
That made it a tough watch for me, man. In that second half, boy, good gosh, that made it tough to watch.
Some people texting in, like, what got you? Someone texting in, what got me the most was in 19 seconds they didn't get a shot off. So sorry about the Houston Cougars losing. It seems like Houston is just cursed. The curse continues. The pressure of winning a championship got to them. They folded 4 turnovers in the last 4 possessions. No shots. Huge choke. Someone else texted in, Kelvin Sampson, a great coach, but he can't win the big one. Chokes again. This is now 2 years in a row.
I love it.
What's your thought about Kelvin? Because I just
love those kind of fans. I experienced it. Like, look, you're lucky that you get to experience it, first of all. Like being an Arkansas fan, like, I experienced it briefly, like when I was in school and shortly after I was in school with Nolan Richardson. I mean, he wins a national title, and, you know, a couple years later, the next year goes to another one, or another Final Four, and then a couple years later, people are talking about what he can't do for you. And it's just, I mean, I experienced it this year at Arkansas with Calipari, you know, again, like I said, from the Kentucky, mostly Kentucky fans, but just telling me all of what Calipari can't do and how bad he was the whole time he was there. I mean, look, I've said this many a time. I'm the wrong person to have this conversation with, because I believe if you've got an organization, coach, players, pros, college, if you've got an organization and you're spending 1 year, 2 years, 3-4 years where you're competitive at a Final Four level, as a fan, you got to just sit back and enjoy it, man. Like, it's easy to say. Like, I watched yesterday, and I thought that, be honest with you, I thought that was piss poor from a coaching perspective of what they were trying to do to get a shot off.
Okay, I was going
to
say, yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, two things can be true. Like,
sure.
You can love, like, someone just hit us up on YouTube and Twitch. Like, U of H is damn lucky to have Kelvin Simp. That is the truth. He is a great, like, coach, and he is taking this program to another level. He had a bad stretch late.
That was a bad play call, or it was a great play call against Duke when they knocked a couple of them down. But, like, it was just, I didn't like that. I thought that was a poor decision by the coach, and I didn't think it was executed well. But to sit here now and say, boy, Kelvin Sampson, he always does it. He just showed the true Kelvin. Man, he was in the championship game, y'all. I mean, he
up
was
12.
Golly, the whole he showed his true colors. It's what he ought. Come on, man. That's tired. It's inaccurate. I don't know. Take it from a guy that hadn't had. I mean, since 94. I wasn't even in Arkansas fan at the time. I didn't go up there until 96. So, I mean, I don't know that I've ever watched my school play in a Final Four championship game. I mean, like, whew.
I understand the frustrations of fans. I can't get with the, you know, he'll never be able to win the big one type thing. I don't know. We'll see about that. But on the other hand, if I were a Houston Cougars fan, I expected Kelvin Sampson to be one of the major advantages in the game for Houston. I think Kelvin's a Hall of Fame coach, over 800 wins. We saw him, you know, out-coach John Shire. I thought that was the advantage they had. And we were seeing it. They absolutely cut the head off of the snake all game long for them. Right? They just shut down Clayton. They shut them down. They did their thing. But L.J. Cryer not getting the ball and not getting the last six possessions, he only takes one shot. And, like, the ball's not in his hand a lot. Like, that's one that he is really going to stay up at night. And then the last one was it was just I heard Charles and them say it looked like he was playing for the three. I'm not sure if that was the case. I'm not sure if
all five guys were on at the 3-point line.
I'm just not sure. Like, if Sharp was the first option,
right,
on the play, like, right, like, but clearly to me it's got to be we're down two. I got to get it to L.J. Cryer, and I gotta make Florida take it out of his hands. That ball came to him, and it did. It looked like he was supposed to swing it to Sharp, and they could have had an ISO with him, and that's where I'm living and dying. It was just so many parts of it. They went up slow. It's 19 seconds left. Mm-hmm. You're down, so
they
you got to go quick in case you miss, so you can foul and prolong the game. I mean, it was 5 seconds when that ball got to Sharp.
Yeah,
like, so and they're walking. There was 12 seconds before they got into anything. So and you called a timeout for that. Yeah. That's the part. Like, you called a timeout for that.
Well, and Florida, if you look how Florida defended that possession, the same way you had been defending the Clayton kid all night long. I mean, they had every one of their defenders out there. They knew exactly what they were trying to do. They were giving up anything on the inside, a cutter down low towards a bucket. They were giving it up. I don't know, man. We can sit here and talk about what Kelvin Sampson did or didn't do in that last second. I'm cool with that schematically. Hell, we can talk about how he's got to do something. We were talking about earlier about how he's got to do something offensively. I mean, they've got to be better offensively. It's great to be great on defense, but they got to do something to be able to create more offense.
Well, I agree with Kelvin said it after the game. We just had some guys have bad nights, dude.
Yeah.
Well, Uzan was one of the best players in the Big 12 the second half of the year, and he really had a tough Final Four.
Yeah.
Both games. He couldn't hit it. I mean, every one of his floaters weren't floaters. They were line drives, man.
I thought I saw that too, but I'm thinking that maybe
two or three of them. Yeah. No, man, he was shooting darts. Yeah, like, agreed. He got in there, got the shots, and was just shooting darts. But four possessions. They had five turnovers for the first 38 minutes and 38 seconds. And they had four turnovers in the last minute 20 plus. It's just, but that's the point I think you were making off the top. Like, what happened? Like, what happened to these cats late? Now, you couldn't have told you. There was no way you could tell me up 12, 9 minutes, up 11, 9 minutes left in the bonus with this defense that this team was going to lose that game.
Yeah,
there is no way you could have told me that. That was wild. We'll continue to talk through this thing. I do want to know, we kind of talked about it yesterday, but does last night's collapse, does that become the memory of this Houston team? This Houston team had an incredible season, one of the best years in Houston sports, to be honest with you. But is that going to be the lasting memory, that collapse? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Cryer, 6 seconds, 5 seconds, Sharp.
He walked, he can't touch it.
He can't, 1 second, and it's over. Florida is back on top of the the college basketball world championship madness. It's a great day to be a Gator. They win the national title.
All right, that was the final call. Disappointing. Hell, disappointing all the way around. Like, nobody, unless you're a Florida fan, nobody, like, you at least want to see a shot get up. You want to see something happen, even if you're not a Houston fan. But a tough ending, as I said on the tease there, does last night's collapse become the memory of this Houston team? But I find it interesting, as we're talking to Tyler, and you know Tyler is a, he's a strict A&M fan.
You've been known to call me a psychopath.
Yeah, there's not a bone in his, I don't know how many times where he's really felt it to go for, like, the Baylor Bears. Or
out John McClain.
Or Texas Tech. Or or Arkansas. Or any, I don't know that he's ever pulled.
No, once, not never.
He did when he had that money on the line.
That's a good point.
Clint, he said emotionally. The Cougs last night, he was out amongst people watching the game. Emotionally, the Cougs got him last night.
Yeah, man. Like I told y'all before the show, if it's not the first time, it's been a very extreme rarity in my life that I feel any kind of passion or any feelings towards a squad in collegiate sports, not, like you said, the Aggies. Last night when that buzzer went off, I guess just because I was around all those Cougs at that bar,
gotcha,
that I could tell were feeling it. Man, I was like, damn, this sucks.
You're a good-hearted human,
Tyler. Good for him, man.
You're a good-hearted human,
Tyler. Was any, bro?
Did you see anybody?
What any good-hearted human would do?
I'm dead serious. Did you see anybody in tears? I know you probably don't relate to this. That was a fan. If a fan was going to be in tears, you're a diehard, that gets close to an in tears moment from anger.
I don't think I did, but I think it's just mainly because the clientele I was around was more of a, their reaction was more of a,
damn, you like, was out there selling or what?
MF in the TV screen as the buzzer went off. Like, it was more like sad anger than like just sad. What I don't think I saw it.
What was you selling out there?
The clientele, baby.
Well, yeah.
Clientele, baby.
Oh, you just mean the people that
the people that were there, yeah.
Yeah. Clientele was nice. Clientele. It was nice.
It was a nice, nice
term. I'm glad you went around a bunch of soft crying sunbuck.
Hey, man, that might have got me, man.
For real, me and Reggie both looked at each other and we were just like, damn.
It'd have gone either way. It could have been just sit and stare and just stare into space with a drink. Or
that's
I could have been emotionally. That could have gotten me emotional.
That's where you find me a lot of the times after a tough Aggie loss, just kind of zoned out. Drink in hand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Four-letter words all being muttered.
Yeah, I'd have turned up the drinks. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd have turned it up. I'd either turned up the drinks or just gone to bed.
Oh, man. Boy,
There ain't no going to bed.
If I were in that mode right there, then that damn Sam Pittman would have had me full-blown alcoholic by now. I promise you that.
Clint, if Arkansas lost in football in the national championship game in a similar way to that,
well, hell yes.
I'd have been up till 3-4 in the morning rewatching the final 10 minutes, trying to like it's going to change anything, but trying to, like, I bet you there are some people right now listening that are real diehard Cougs fans that have rewatched that like the last like 4 or 5 possessions in a row.
Why wouldn't they
repeat it? How'd you feel about this then?
I don't know. My man was slick with it.
I thought, is he slick with it? He looks like a guy that would know the weather. But
leather jacket and shades.
Oh, was inside? That leather? Oh, inside? I didn't know that.
I think it was suede, actually.
Suede, yeah. I was going to say it looked leather. Yeah.
Was it old Andy?
No, it wasn't Andy.
A little more upright than Andy.
Andy's out there. Andy's out there working. Upright.
Nah, Andy got that lean on.
What'd you think about my man... Clayton Jr. Like, if you put yourself in Emmanuel Sharp's, because that was the tough part for me, Tyler, is watching, like, I could just see it, and I saw Juwan Roberts when he realized that it was over and the ball was rolling away. Yeah. He went immediately and grabbed his jersey and pulled it over his face. And then Sharp just collapsed. I saw LJ, he was at the backcourt, he collapsed. When those kids hit the ground, but then you see your guy, the MOP of the tournament, Walter Clayton. he comes over and tries to pick up and console Emmanuel Sharp. And I know that's the kind of stuff that gets to you. I don't know if I was Emmanuel Sharp if I'm ready for that at that moment. But I mean, I give Will or Walter Clayton some credit.
Yeah,
for that.
No, look, I've experienced it before.
Sincere.
I've experienced it before, man. As if it's a fellow competitor on the field, then it ain't nothing but love, man. It ain't that I ain't mad at you. It ain't nothing. I heard. I don't know who Reggie him tonight. There's no. Like, I don't want to hear it right now. Now you may not want to hear it, but I'm talking about how you receive it from somebody that just competed their ass off against you. When I remember fumbling that damn ball against Tennessee in 98.
Did somebody come over to you?
When I was leaving, actually, I crossed paths with Dante Stallworth. And Stallworth was, he had some words, just, hey, man, keep your head up kind of deal, yada, yada, yada. And then a year later, the cool part of that story, a year later when we beat Tennessee at our place, Dante Stallworth stayed on the field for an hour because Arkansas rushed the field, tore down the goalpost. He stayed on the field for damn near an hour. When he got to me in full clothes to tell me how happy he was for me. Still in his uniform, pads and everything.
Oh, he played. He was still playing.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, just like and in either instance,
man, he really liked your ass.
Well, I don't.
Really,
I mean, I don't. Yeah, I didn't. I don't know. Just a good dude, I guess. I don't. But it was one of those deals where after I fumbled that thing, I really didn't want to talk to anybody. I wanted to crawl in a hole and not talk to anybody. But you got to go talk to the media.
Yeah, you see, I don't think you should have had to do that.
Well, they're in the locker room in your face anyway. You know, they shouldn't let them sumbucks in the room. But no, just like you got to be a real different like wired cat to. If it's somebody else, I really don't want to talk to him. But when it's somebody that's in that you just competed your ass off with for 2 hours, two plus hours, yeah, man, I greatly appreciate the hey, man, keep your head up.
It didn't look like a handshake line was was happening after the way that where they were dispersed all over the floor.
Right.
I did say this: 35-5 this year. Before last night, they had not lost a game since February 1st. Before last night's game, they hadn't lost since February 1st. The last time they lost, Big 12 champs, regular season tournament champions. They went 19-1. They went to a Final Four. They beat Duke in one of the greatest comebacks ever in the Final Four. Had that memorable moment. Best defense in the country. As I said, I thought this was his best shot. All of that happened this year. Do you think this collapse is going to be the memory of this team?
100%. Absolutely 100%. Don't matter how much good you do.
You think the lasting memory of this team?
Yes.
All of that I rattled off.
Yes.
When they
will not mention this run to the national championship game for U of H without first mentioning losing a 12-point lead. And Sharp not getting that ball off the way that ended, with that not getting a shot off at the end. Absolutely.
How long?
Sharp's going to feel this one for a while. They all going to feel it for a while. Sharp's going to feel this one for a while.
You've been in this series. You talked about the Tennessee game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great year for Arkansas.
Yeah.
Like, that was a great year. Like, you guys, I think, did you go, what bowl game, Juggle?
We played Tom Brady in the Citrus Bowl.
Right,
we turned around and we lost to Mississippi State the next week. But that was, I mean, we had a legit national championship type of run team.
How many games y'all win?
We were 9-2 that year.
9-2, right? Then you played Tom in the Citrus Bowl.
I threw more touchdowns than Tom. Problem was, two of them was the Michigan guy.
Yeah, I know it was. but that was a great year. But y'all don't think about making it to the Citrus Bowl. Y'all don't think about
Ryan.
You think about the Tennessee.
We beat Alabama by a bigger point spread than anybody's ever beat Alabama in the SEC ever, 42-6. We were 8-0, had a crazy run. My receiver Anthony Lucas was ridiculous. I put up better numbers that year in the SEC than Joey Harrington did in the Pac-12 that year, and he was up for the Heisman Trophy. And I was told 2 weeks ago when I went back to Arkansas, a guy in a real conversation, he said, you know, you're one play away from being the most beloved Arkansas player in history. I said, I think I do. I think I do know that, boss. Appreciate you reminding me.
But just like that team, that was an amazing year. Yep. 9-2, and this is when they played, 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
Not 9-2 at Arkansas. I'm guessing not just you, but the whole team, and the first thing that people remember from that year is that.
Ain't no doubt. Zero doubt about it.
And these kids had this great of a year, and the thing that people are going to remember, as you said, is Emmanuel Sharpe.
That's right. When people think of Emmanuel Sharpe, when people think about this national championship run, the first conversation they're going to have is, how in the hell did they not get
a shot?
I don't mean to be rude, man.
I don't mean to be rude, man.
But man, how in the hell did y'all not get a shot off in it? Not the record, not the Duke win, not the. How the hell did y'all not get a shot off in that last 4 minutes?
That's tough.
Four possessions.
That's tough, man. Like everything they did, not the Duke comeback, none of that.
Nah, we'll talk about that later.
The lasting memory is Emmanuel Sharpe going up, and yeah, that's tough. All right, let's slide over to the Texans. Of course, we will continue to look at what happened last night in San Antonio, but let's look at the Texans because we know this group potentially is going to be good, but maybe we don't even know how good it's going to be.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. A lot of news happening in the sports world, and we'll talk about this maybe a little bit more. Weird coming out of Denver. And that is that the Denver Nuggets with, man, it's like 3-4 games left in the season. They have fired their head coach, Michael Malone, who's been there 10 years, and they won a championship. Hell, 2 years ago, we remember when we looked up there and we learned that Michael Malone is secretly on that Paul Wall level of life. I don't know if you remembered, like, we heard a different Michael Malone once he had a few in him, and he was on that microphone. He had them black glasses on. I mean, he was a different cat, but he's been a champion, thought of to be one of the best coaches in the NBA, and they have fired him and Calvin Booth, the general manager. That's 4 games left. It is the oddest thing. A team that is in 4th place by a game and a half, potentially could be the 3 spot in the West, have fired their championship coach and their GM with 4 games to go is very, very odd. I thought it was weird when Memphis fired their coach, Taylor Jenkins, a couple of weeks ago, but this is even more bizarre, especially, I mean, the Nuggets have Jokic, they've got Jamal Murray, Porter Jr. You would think this team has won a championship a couple of years ago that they at least have some sort of a shot, and then they fired their coach. It's a weird, weird scenario. In a situation that's happened in Denver that can't just be whatever the BS they're saying of, hey, we just want to give our team the best chance to win going into the playoffs. No, something happened. Something really happened for 4 games left that you go ahead and just shut it down on the coach that just bought you a championship a couple of years ago.
Well, the funny thing is, I mean, call Milwaukee and see how that's worked out for them. It hadn't been pretty. So
Memphis, yeah, they have.
I said Milwaukee, Memphis too. I'm just about firing a championship coach shortly after he won that championship, and see how that's worked out for him. This is wild to think how bad it has to be. To fire a coach, a championship caliber head coach with an organization that's a couple of years removed from winning a title with all your pieces in place, and really not in, obviously not the one seed in the West, but you're in a good spot to get in and make some damn noise and possibly win another one as long as you got Jokic healthy. Think about it. You got teams in leagues, Ron, that will wait the season out in a year where they're tanking anyway. They'll wait the season out when other good candidates come alive, you know, come about. Wait the season out just for the sake of waiting the season out, just for the timing, and won't fire their coach early. I mean, how bad does it have to be?
Something big.
I mean, how bad does it have to be to run this coach, this caliber coach, literally... Oh, 10 days? Was it 10 days? Two weeks before the playoffs start?
They play the Kings, Grizzlies, and Rockets. That's what they got left.
Yeah, 3 games left. 3 games left. Championship caliber coach, championship caliber roster, right there in the mix and in the playoffs. I don't know exactly where Denver's going to end up, but I mean, right there in the mix.
4 spot right now.
So a 4 spot, chance to host a damn playoff series. I mean, wow. It's got to be bad, man.
Yeah, it's something.
And then to turn around happened. And say that I just saw the report again. The general manager. There's some reports that say he's been relieved of his duties as well. The reports I'm seeing on the ticker on ESPN is that his contract will not be renewed. So it's not like all of a sudden they're choosing him over the head coach. Hell, they're kicking both of them.
They're all out. It's a weird, weird situation. All right, the Texans who are looking to kind of take the next step and hopefully get themselves in a championship situation like the Denver Nuggets were in a couple of years ago, Clint, and a big part of where that is going to be big is in the secondary. And they have, I think you can argue now, adding Gardner Johnson to what they already had. They've got a good amount of safeties that can do a lot of different things. Their corners are great. They got a chance to be really, really special there. And maybe this is one reason that Nick Caserio brought this up when he was with Payne and Pendergast last week. Maybe this is one reason we haven't really looked at as well, that this secondary could be a real difference maker.
rookies, as an example, Bullock and Lassiter have been here. They didn't have an off-season program, so this is really their first opportunity to train with our staff on a kind of off-season type of cadence. So the players are here. It speaks to who they are. It speaks to their willingness and want to get better, and we encourage them to be there because we have everything that they need at their fingertips. So other players, if they want to go elsewhere, that's okay. It doesn't mean they're not working, like I said, but to have that number of players in the building, you know, it's a credit to them and just and really our strength and conditioning and our sports performance staff that they want to be here.
Well, now they got their two young rookies who I think are guys that can definitely take steps forward here living in the facility, trying to get better here, yeah, and not, you know, going anywhere. And as he said, their first real off season and being able to train in an NFL off season is something that could take their game to a whole nother level from what it was last year when they were rookies.
Yeah, look, I didn't want to get too far removed from Nick Caserio speaking this this beauty. He was on Plain and Pendergast a few days back last week, but we've talked a lot about how great this secondary potentially could be, one of the top secondaries in the league, any way you slice it. But I guess I've just looked at the sheer talent that they have and hadn't really dug until I hear that kind of conversation or that kind of comment from Nick Caserio. Ron, you look at this secondary, and whether it's the quote unquote potential speed problem that Kamari Lassiter may have, which never really showed last year in game action. That don't mean it's not real. He may be able to open his stride up a bit. He may be able to work year round to do some things to create a little bit more speed there, if that is what he's looking for. You look at Kalen Bullock, and since he stepped on campus here with the Texans, they've talked about him needing to gain weight. Now, after he went out there and stayed healthy and played really, really well, I don't know how focused they are on gaining weight, but the point is not either one of those being a problem. The point is if they are, you know, spots where these guys can get better, spending 4 months in the offseason, 5 months in the offseason with the best trainers in the world, with the best nutrition in the world, with now the only thing that you have and that you're responsible for is getting your body in tip-top shape and being the best that you can be. That could be I never thought about it. I don't know why. I never thought about it from those guys' perspective. But two starters in this secondary getting real offseason work could be a huge step in the right direction.
Well, especially the way they were able to play when you when you go into the league from your college season, this kind of stuff runs into it. Like it runs.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like right now, these guys are getting ready for the draft, and then it's going to be rookie minicamp before you know it, right? And you got so many things that you're trying to get an understanding of. Now they know the system, where they're playing, the expectations, and now it is how can we get better? What have we learned? And now also D'Amico knows the things that they can and can't do. And him and sorry, Matt Burke, you as well, Matt Burke and D'Amico kind of know what things they can do with these guys and kind of expand what their games can be, right? When you get them in as a rookie, right, you're taking your time, giving them what you feel like they can handle. Absolutely. And now you know what they can handle and what they can do. I think you may even see them do, like, one thing we saw later in the season was, you know, Kamari on corner blitzes. Yeah. And he was really, really good at that. And up against the run, and we kind of saw Bullock in the back end. So understanding what they are.
Remember, Kamari got into the slot some in critical situations. Yep. I mean, that's just, I mean, the step that those two guys can make just having an offseason in the NFL and being professionals is you can argue it's the biggest step. I mean, Jalen Petrie coming back and being healthy would be huge, obviously. I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson's, that's pretty big. But you can argue that player to player, that I don't know that you could expect anybody to make bigger jumps than those two. You know, year one to year two, those two guys getting all the playing time they got last year, guys that are very durable, that stayed healthy, obviously. That's going to be big, man.
All right, coming up, let's look back at what happened last night in San Antonio. And we've talked a little bit about it, but there were individuals that were extremely impactful in this game that I think led to what we watched last night. And we haven't talked enough about them. We'll do that coming up next.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com. Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.